I'm Earlonne Woods.
I'm Nigel Poor. We're the hosts and creators of Ear Hustle from PRX's Radiotopia.
Ear Hustle is a show about life inside prison, but it's not your typical prison podcast.
In this next season, we've got stories about the objects people keep inside their prison cells.
About residents in a women's prison who say they want to stay there.
And the most beautiful prison garden. Earlonne, I will never forget it.
Ear Hustle. Stories about life on the inside, told by those who live it.
Find Ear Hustle wherever you get your podcasts.
Support comes from Grady Health Foundation, presenting Move for Grady Saturday, April 27th, featuring a family-friendly bike ride through Atlanta's in-town neighborhoods. There's a ride, run, or walk distance for everyone, benefiting Grady Health System. More at moveforgrady.com.
Welcome to the first edition of Gold Dome Scramble, a pop-up podcast from Political Breakfast. We're here every week for the duration of the Georgia legislative session. I'm Lisa Ram, and with me are WABE reporters Emma Hurt and Emil Moffitt, who will be spending a lot of time at the Capitol, where lawmakers will be meeting for 40 days. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you, Lisa.
We're really happy to be here and just pop in and talk about Georgia politics.
Play on words there. Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. So, Emma, start us off. Give us the nuts and bolts. What's happening this week?
Right. So not a lot of action, per se, this week. It's kind of like a high school reunion. Everybody comes back, gathers, checks in, says hi after not seeing each other for quite a few months. But there will be a lot of important speeches that kind of set the tone. First up, we have what's known as Eggs and Issues, which is the Chamber of Commerce's big breakfast on Wednesday. Hundreds of lobbyists and lawmakers will be there, and they'll hear from the Speaker of the House, the Lieutenant Governor, and the Governor, who will all be kind of setting the tone for their political priorities this year.
And speaking of the governor, he gives his State of the State address on Thursday. That's where he outlines his priorities for the state. He has told us he wants adoption reform, stepping up efforts to fight street gangs and human trafficking. But the big thing to watch this entire session will be that budget.
Right, Emil. And on the budget, technically, that's the only requirement of lawmakers is to convene and, you know, come up with a balanced budget for the state. And we've been hearing a lot about it, of course, with state revenues down and mandated budget cuts across state agency. It's going to be tight. And are we expecting a big fight over what gets cut this year, Emma?
Yeah. I mean, unlike the federal government, Georgia can't run a deficit. So they need to figure out how to pass a balanced budget. And so this year, because we have revenues down and budget cuts, there's a lot more balancing they have to do, and it's going to be painful.
And the thing is, the state economy is actually doing pretty well, yet the budget this year is short. It's a real anomaly, and most other states around the country don't have that problem. According to our reporting, most other state budgets are doing well in this economy.
Yeah, and I think one of the reasons is Georgia is one of the few states that cut its income tax rate in 2018. It went into effect last year. Lawmakers had thought that the federal tax reform would generate a lot of revenue for Georgia, and that hasn't really been the case. So here we are, already more than $200 million short this fiscal year, which started in the summer.
And Emil, as you know, in that law, lawmakers also gave themselves the option to cut the income tax rate again in 2020. It's an election year, so that's probably going to be a real talking point for a lot of campaigns.
Right. In an election year, it'll be, of course, tough to be outwardly opposed to tax cuts, but even the governor has been cautious about campaigning for it, given the economic climate and the, you know, the possibility of a recession. Speaker of the House David Ralston says he thinks the legislature made a commitment to Georgians to make that second tax cut this year.
And so with the politics of that tax cut looming, lawmakers are also trying to find ways to generate more money so that maybe they can get away with the tax cut and still balance the budget. And so that means they're reevaluating tax credits and incentive packages that Georgia's been giving out. We caught up with State Senator Lindsey Tippins at the Capitol, and he had this great analogy about how Georgia's been treating its budget and the tax credits and maybe how he thinks it might have gotten a little out of hand.
You know, it's like making a batch of cookies. You take them out of the oven and you walk down the hall with a tray of cookies, and people say, "Well, I sure would like to have one." And you say, "Well, help yourself." But when you get to the table, you discover you've given away too many cookies, and you don't have enough to match the original intent of the baking process. And you know, I think the reason we have a shortfall, we're giving away too many cookies.
And Tippins wants to know where all the cookies have gone, so we may see some scrutiny on those that cookie distribution here.
Well, staying in line with that, the biggest cookie or credit getting attention right now, maybe the film tax credit. State auditors issued two reports on this just ahead of the session. One says the program is not well administered, and the other says the impact of the film industry here is overstated. It seems a little strategic, doesn't it, Emil?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. We've heard so much in the last year about Tyler Perry's efforts and Black Hall Studios in DeKalb County wants to expand as well. The Department of Economic Development, which gives out those lucrative credits, says it doesn't agree with the audit, says the auditors painted an inaccurate picture, in their opinion, of the film industry here.
Yeah, I mean, there could be a fight ahead on this. Speaker Ralston, however, who has a lot of power over the budget, says he definitely doesn't want to abolish this program. He might be open to tweaking it. But Georgia's been offering a really good deal for filmmakers here, a 30% tax credit without a limit.
Yeah, superb deal. And that no limit aspect is probably going to be the real talking point, I can imagine. Other states, you know, have a limit of how much money they're willing to divert from their budget. They just say once we reach a certain amount, no more credits. Here in Georgia, it was like $800 million in 2018, and it's estimated even more in 2019, right, Emil?
Yeah, I mean, you can't go anywhere without seeing those yellow signs that filming here and film crews all over the place, and you just see that. And these credits are a really good deal for movie companies, especially those who are not headquartered here in Georgia.
But the risk, as other states have seen, is the film industry will just up and leave if they get a better deal somewhere else. So even though Georgia has built this big infrastructure with big studios, at the moment, if there's a threat to the credits, those movie makers might just up and leave, and we would be left with a bunch of empty warehouses.
Yeah, and some are just sitting and watching. I spoke with the president of Pinewood Studios, Frank Patterson, and he says he's just going to sit back, wait and see.
I can't imagine they're going to do anything that's going to harm an industry that's been so good for the state. And I don't have the skills and abilities that they have, but I do have faith in the state of Georgia. And I do know that they see, our leaders see the value of this industry.
As everyone is predicting, this is definitely something to watch. We'll have more with Emma and Emil after the break.
You love free, and at Ameris Bank, so do we. That's why we're proud to offer worry-free, hassle-free Ameris Bank free checking. Manage your money your way with convenient access to digital, mobile, and telephone banking, all with no monthly service fee or minimum balance requirements. At Ameris Bank, we're with you. For more information or to open an account, visit our local bankers in person or online at amerisbank.com/free checking. Other fees such as overdraft fees may apply. Ameris Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Support for WABE's local coverage on maternal health and mortality comes from Georgia Health Initiative, whose mission is to inspire and promote collective action that advances health equity for all Georgians. Learn more at GeorgiaHealthInitiative.org.
It's Gold Dome Scramble, a pop-up podcast from Political Breakfast. So Wednesday, we're going to hear more about the governor's priorities for this year. But the Speaker of the House, who is quite powerful, told reporters that he may support people voting on gambling. Could we really see that on the ballot, Emma? Casinos in Georgia, it's been talked about year after year after year.
Right. And the Speaker basically said, you know, there comes a point where we might have to just stop talking and start voting and just see where it ends up. Particularly one state senator, Brandon Beach, has made consistent arguments recently that horse racing and casino gambling could have positive rural economic development effects across the state, creating jobs. And that argument is catching some wind. The question is, can lawmakers agree on what exactly we should be asking voters about? Should we be asking them about casino gambling, about horse racing, about sports betting, about all three, about two? I mean, there's really no consensus at this point.
It's an issue that could go a lot of different ways this year, particularly because of the budget cuts. The idea of the new tax revenue to apply to programs is very appealing. On the other hand, it's an election year for every one of about 230 lawmakers, and some conservative lawmakers, they may not want to go on the record for gambling this session. One gambling opponent we talked to just a couple of weeks ago said, money can't be the standard for everything. You can't put money over morality.
All right. Well, talking about election year, usually it's a time when lawmakers want to get their 40-day session done rather quickly so they can go fundraise, because during this session they are prohibited from seeking donations, right? But it seems like the Speaker hinted that with the budget cuts, that's pretty unlikely.
Yeah, he did say that whenever there's a tough budget like we have this year, the session could drag out. Lawmakers need time to negotiate just what to cut and why. And none of this touches on the many, many, many other bills that the lawmakers will be considering beyond the budget.
Yeah, this first week, I wonder if we'll see some bills being introduced. Emil, any ideas there?
We have seen some pre-filed bills. One is not so subtly directed at indicted and now suspended state insurance commissioner Jim Beck, who is still getting paid his state salary, even though he was replaced back in July. The bill wants to cut out what some see as a loophole there. There's also a bill that would require transgender students to play on single-sex sports teams that match their gender at birth if they're playing at public facilities.
All right, thanks, Emil. And there's always the leftovers, right, Emma? There are bills left over from last year because Georgia is a two-year legislative cycle, so they're still alive, so to speak.
Yeah, there's a lot still left on the table here. I mean, there's the attempted airport takeover by the state from the city last year. There's an attempted overhaul of the state's rural transit system that also got held up. There's also this thing called a marketplace facilitator tax, meaning taxing on companies like Uber, Lyft, and Airbnb.
And one of the most controversial is the religious freedom bill, another one that keeps creeping up, which some say discriminates against the LGBT community. Will that see the light of day this legislative session?
Well, Speaker Ralston, who has a lot of power over whether bills get ahead, has already said that it would be a waste of time to deal with that this year. He called it a solution in search of a problem. It's something that could suck the political energy out of the room, which is really, again, needed for the budget.
So, right. I mean, at this stage, much of the controversy seems to be around that budget and how the governor and lawmakers are going to work it out. But I'll remind us all, this time last year, nobody was talking about an anti-abortion law. That ended up being the major attention grabber of 2019. So we really often can't reliably predict what exactly we're going to be talking about over these next 40 days.
All right. Always unpredictable, isn't it? That's what makes politics so exciting. We want to thank you all for listening to this first edition of Gold Dome Scramble, our pop-up podcast from Political Breakfast. Join us again next week as we learn more about what Governor Kemp may want to fund or what he may want to cut. And don't forget, Political Breakfast with Dennis O'Hare is always there for more analysis and insight into all things Georgia politics. See you next week. Thanks for being here.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.
Have you donated to WABE yet? I know you've heard us talking about why it's important, but it doesn't have to be this big decision. You can give at whatever amount fits your budget. It can be a spur-of-the-moment thing. You already get so much out of public radio, so just go for it. Visit wabe.org/donate and become a member right now. And thank you.